Thanks for joining me, Brett Johnson. About to join me in a matter of seconds, the Bulldogs superstar. God love her, James. That's coming through in response to Margaret. How good is Margaret? She's so sharp. Her passion for the game is just awesome. Well done, SEN, for continuing to put her on here. Yeah, absolutely. We love Margaret. Another one saying that Margaret's referring to Jack Casson, not John Casson. Jack Casson going way back when. And Hayden Bunton, I'm talking about Hayden Bunton Senior, he was in the late 30s, so Margaret couldn't quite take us back to that time when he won, I think, 3 Brownlows in 4 years. Brad Johnson's been good enough to join me. Welcome to you. Jono, great to have you on the program again.
Thank you, Dwayne. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm good. We've just been talking about draft age, and Simo's been talking today about coaches coaching for flair and freedom, and I've been talking about whether or not they coach for enough of it. Some of the coaches, I think, in some clubs down the bottom end do coach for defence first. Have you noticed a bit more freedom and flair in the old games that you've been watching so far in the last couple of weeks?
It's been brilliant. It really has, and I think it's ever made everyone sort of take stock on what the game really was like and how good it was and the freedom that was played with. There's all the tactics that come with football when we were coming through, Dwayne, and even as much as the early 2000s. But it has changed a lot to that defensive sort of style now. We get it. But looking back has been so much fun. And you can just see now why our game has turned into a bit of a mishmash of, you know, basketball or ice hockey or soccer and all these other sports. But looking back, it's footy. And that's what we knew it as. And hopefully now with us seeing it, we might start to get a little bit more of that in the future, especially if the coaches start thinking that way.
Now, you played virtually in 3 decades, so from 94, I think, to 2010, 364 games. You saw the evolution of the game from when you first came in. I'm sure it was still pretty much an instinct-based game. You were allowed to play and make your decisions based on gut feel at the time in those early 90s, but it was starting to evolve into a coached game where you were told where to stand and where to be.
Yeah, it was a little bit, no doubt, but even right up until 2010 when I retired, Rodney Eade still had the most basic sort of triangle theory in terms of you've got to have a really strong base to your game, and that involved all the preparation and persistence with your performance and all the things you're doing to prepare yourself to play, because you always got to have something with a strong base to come back to if the game's not going your way in terms of your own individual or team performance. So that was huge, and in that he had his game plan and his tactics, but always at the top of that triangle was flair. And he never wanted to take that out of our games as players, because we all brought something different to the table. You couldn't switch that, turn that upside down, that triangle, have flair, the number one aspect to your game. He wouldn't play you. But he still wanted it as part of the way that we played our footy under him all the way up until 2010. And the last 10 years has changed dramatically again. And you're right, it is more around structure and predicted ball movement and being a little bit more controlled with our ball movement in the way the footy's played these days, rather than that turn and go and get it in there. And that's why we get excited when we do see it.
And the other reason why it raised my ears when I heard it from Simo earlier today on breakfast is because for eternity, kids have always worn the number of the player that they loved because they had flair. I don't remember too many kids wearing the number of the fullback who just punched it over the boundary line 15 times a game and had 2 kicks for the game. Every kid that ever lived that loves this game loves it because they grew up wanting to be that guy with the flair.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. And that's why we saw players kicking 100 goals a year and getting up around 1,000 goals for a career. They're enormous numbers. And I always look to Buddy Franklin, who's one of my all-time favourite players, and we understand what he was able to do at Hawthorn. And Sydney, you can see the evolution. He'd be a great one to talk to in terms of the freedom he had playing for Hawthorn, where he was kicking, you know, 100 goals, to now, you know, getting 40 or 50 a year because he's higher up the ground and yeah, defending first before coming back. I think he's the perfect case of the type of superstar that has had to alter his flair in his game and that natural ability because of that team aspect. And Buddy's a team player. You can see yeah, the way he plays and the way he structures himself. He puts team over the individual every day of the week, and it's a credit to him. But he's one who has had to change significantly from what you're talking about to where we are today in terms of the way the game's played. Buddy's got the ability to kick 100 a year, but the way Sydney play, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Hey, we've been talking draft age, and Mick Turner believes he's got the best draft crop now than he's almost ever had, and that's saying something, given that he's had Jonathan Brown and Luke Hodge and Gary Albert Jr. and co come through. Matty Rendell supported the 18 years staying as the current age, staying on. Stephen Wells on Gerard Whateley's show earlier today said it as well, because there's a great crop of kids coming through right now. The Cats have got their eyes on as well. You've coached these kids last year. What is the draft crop looking like? And do you think it would be too disappointing for these kids in a way that are ready, like the Connor Rosees and Sam Walshes of the world, if they get told you're not allowed to play next year, we're not having a draft?
Yeah, it's a changing dynamic right across the entire industry, and maybe there is that opportunity. We haven't seen these young men play this year, and that's where it becomes a little bit more difficult, Dwayne, because you might have every year there's a few kids that, and I was the same when I got drafted. I was 17, but it wasn't until my draft year that I was actually started to play some semi-decent football as a junior at that higher level. So you'll have these kids that have had unbelievable under 16 years, and we can tout that they're going to, you know, make it in the AFL industry, no doubt. And they deserve that chance. But so does the kid who hasn't been able to make that elite level as a 16-year-old, but all of a sudden this year would have possibly jumped up. And now his name, where does that get put in terms of his ability to be put on a list this year, because he might have matured. He's matured in his approach to the game and the contest, and he steps up and jumps up. And we see that every year from a number of, you know, young kids coming through. So it's more around, we know what the top, you know, 20 or 30 are like from their 16th year, and they generally push on from that. There's some that do drop away, but it is these other ones that, you know, do they just go on to play VFL next year, do they, and then try and bring themselves through, you know, in 2021. So there's some big discussions that need to be had in terms of the structure of it all, because of just the changing dynamic of this year in particular.
So Stephen Wells, who's Geelong's recruiter, for those people who don't know, and has been for a long, long time, a successful premiership recruiter, said that kids don't have to nominate. So if you don't think you're ready as an 18-year-old, then don't nominate. You can nominate and clubs don't have to pick you either. So if you want to finish your year 12 and then nominate the year after, you've got that option. And I think he makes a pretty good point. Would you raise the draft age, or would you give kids the option still as 18-year-olds if you think you're ready to nominate, like Sam Walsh and Connor Rosee did successfully last year? And I think Connor Rosee got a pretty high VCE score as well.
Yeah, look, I think the way that these young men coming through, they're ready, Dwayne. It's changed a lot from, I was drafted as a 17-year-old and I completed my year 12, had no worries, but we were only training 3 or 4 times a week back then. So I still went to school in Geelong and completed my studies, trained at night and studied until late and got up the next morning and went back to school again. So it was different in terms of it, challenging, no doubt, but come out the other side, no worries. I was ready to step into that sort of environment at that age. As we're seeing with a lot of the guys now that you mentioned before, they're ready. You step in, they're having an immediate impact. They're not playing 2 years in the reserves before stepping into the seniors. The majority of them are getting a crack and a decent crack within the first couple of years of being on a list. So they are genuinely ready to go. So I agree. If you think you're right, put your name in the draft. Away we go. And get these guys in to that elite environment, which they're actually thriving to get in there, because they know that they can, you know, raise their standards once they're in around the very best players in the competition.
And before I let you go, Jono, you've got a young star in the house. Now, every parent thinks that their children can sing. Every parent thinks that their kids are great. So I'm going to just play a little bit of your daughter. Ella J is, if you want to Google it, Ella J, and the song is Goodbye Player. I'll let our audience make up their mind as to whether Ella J has a great voice. And boy, has she got a great voice or not. Here's Ella J, Goodbye Player. It's Brad Johnson's daughter. So I've been saying goodbye, player. Got a future, Jono?
Dwayne, you know the music industry a lot better than I do, Dwayne, so I'll take your judgment on that. I can't raise a tune whatsoever. No, she's done extremely well in terms of, she's worked hard, Dwayne. As you know, when your kids put the time and effort into something over a good chunk of time, you know, the reward is for her to take that next step, and she's been courageous enough to do that, and put her song out there that she's been able to create with Rob Amoruso and Liz Weber, and it's come up really well. So it's a new journey for her, and as parents now, we just sit back and enjoy the ride, especially during this period where she's been able to put a fair bit of time into it because things are pretty quiet, and she started back at school today.
That's great news. So still at school. Goodbye, player Ella Jay, and make sure that she remembers the person who played it on radio first when she gets famous and she's the next seer. Before I let you go, Jono, you're also doing something in the women's footy space. May I ask you to, or is that not releasable yet?
Yeah, no, definitely, Dwayne. We've got our Xena garment, which is a protective garment that goes underneath the girls playing any type of contact sport. We started with the AFLW this year, and we had some good momentum going into the local games, but unfortunately it's all stopped. We had about 20-25 girls wear it throughout the AFLW season. It was great. It absorbs the contact, and it basically allows the girls to get hit through the breast and rib areas and absorb those hits, but also recover better. And it sits really well on the girls. It was really positive, really positive start for the garment. So check it out if you think that it's something that in the future that you think your daughter may need with playing contact sport, or you're playing some footy yourself that you think you might need some protection, then it certainly will aid in that. And it's a preventer too. So it's protection and prevent as well.
Great to have you, Jono. Let's hope. What's it called again? What's the garment called?
It's called Xena Sport. Yeah, it's called Xena
Sport. I'll see you tonight, yeah. Jono. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dwayne. See you, mate.
The great Brad Johnson, the Bulldogs superstar, and I'll be working with him on Fox Footy a little bit later today. Hey, had a few texts come through on who did you want to be because they had flair, and that no one ever wanted to be a fullback because they just thumped the ball over the boundary line. No one had their fullback's number on their back. Here's one here. Sorry, Dwayne, I had number 20, Jeff Southby, on my back all my early years. So, okay, I'll stand corrected. But I presume the majority of kids out there and the majority of us in my age bracket that when we were kids, we wanted to be the guy with flair. So who did you want to be back then because they had the flair? Or did you want to be one of those fullbacks who thumped it out of play 15 times a game? 1-300-736-736, the open line for Werribee Kia. So I've been saying goodbye, player. See you later.